Jason, these games catch up to you quick, especially when you get 3.5 days to prepare. We'll talk about Bears, Lions on Thanksgiving, and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, the Bears get to play a game that the entire country will sit down and watch on Thanksgiving Day. Unclear whether that's good for the brand or bad, but a Lions team that's probably the best in football right now has a definite opportunity to put up some big numbers.
I've been eager for these games for a long time, the Lions-Bears games, because of last year. Mm-hmm. Last year, you see the Bears have the Lions on the ropes in Detroit and fall apart in just this unbelievable way. And then you see them come back here to Soldier Field to play them a few weeks later and handle them. Mm-hmm. The Lions are better, but they were really good last year. Things are different about both teams. I've been eager to see if the Bears' upgrades, talent-wise, would balance things out, getting a better quarterback in, getting some better skill players in. And I've been eager to see, is this a case of Matt Eberflus has the Lions' number? He has Dan Campbell and Jared Goff and Ben Johnson figured out? Or are the Lions going to respond appropriately, and they are the ones with the better team, the better coaching staff, and it will be the opposite. They will prove that those were just fluky performances. Now, that's before we saw the Bears go 4-7
right
to start the season. It's a lot different now, where I would give them almost no shot going into this game, except, and this is the reason to watch if you are outside of Chicago or Detroit, this is why you turn this on Thursday morning as you're getting everything ready for Thanksgiving. It's Caleb Williams, and he is the wild card. He is the unpredictable variable in the rest of the Bears season, where you don't know what he is yet. And if he's going to be something like what we've seen the last 2 weeks against pretty good defenses in the Packers and the Vikings, even though they lost those games, he played well against the Packers and I think excellently against the Vikings. That's something that can change a game. And that was the whole reason why they wanted to reboot at quarterback and bring him in, is that you have this quarterback who can overcome your other flaws.
Just looked it up. 3 minutes to play at Ford Field last year. The Bears led 26-14. And they gave up 17 points.
Do you remember what their win probability was at that stage? Was it 98 or something percent?
You are Mr. Win Probability lately.
Well, I love watching that.
I mean, that'd be 90.
I love following along on that.
It had to be in the high 90s. There was a 32-yard Jameson Williams touchdown with 2:59 to play. Then David Montgomery comes and scores a one-yarder. And then I had forgotten about this, which is why I looked it up. Aiden Hutchinson sacked Justin Fields forced a Justin Fields fumble that rolled out of bounds for a safety.
That was the end of it, right?
To end the game, and the Bears lost by 5. You know, I brought this up after the last game. The Bears didn't play well in any other aspect but offense last week. They gave up 7 yards of play, which is a ton of yards, and their special teams hurt them more than helped them. And you know, they were in the game because their quarterback was good. And that's such a foreign feeling around here, but you're right. Have we reached the point here where you can never totally rule them out if they've got Caleb Williams playing well?
Can Caleb Williams go in there? Is it possible that Caleb Williams can go in there and throw for 300-plus yards and get them in the 30s points-wise? Is that possible?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
That's possible. That's on the table based on this guy's talent. Mm-hmm. And the recent development we've seen and the great cohesion he's had with Thomas Brown. Now, is it also possible that he'll throw 3 interceptions? I mean, he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, but is it possible he's going to go in there and have one of these games where it's like, Jesus, is he even going to get to 100 yards passing? It's totally possible. He is wildly unpredictable still at this stage. But the last two games are so much more promising to me than the 3-game outburst you saw in September, October. The last couple games look sustainable to me. That looks like it would be, now I would be surprised to see him take any step back.
On a short week, I'm not sure Caleb Williams has ever played a game three and a half days apart.
He just talked about this today, if you want to hear about it.
Well, tell me about it.
Well, he cut off. The first question was about that, and he cut it off right away, two words into it, because he knew where it was headed, and he was like, it's absolutely a big change for me. It's a huge adjustment. He did not seem comfortable with it. And he said, you know, there was in the walkthrough, I made some mistakes because I just haven't had the time to go through everything and get down to the fine points and details on every play that we're putting in. So then there's some errors in the walkthrough on Tuesday. And he talked about this, like, I need to learn everything I can about this week because they have it on the schedule again next month, playing at home against Detroit on the 22nd and then turning around and playing at home against Seattle on a Thursday night on the 26th. And as he said, there will be, you know, the Bears aren't the only team that plays Thursday games. Right. There will be a lot of Thursday games in his future. That's not unique to this season, but it is, Pat, it did, you know, if this plays into what you're about to discuss, he did acknowledge it. Yeah, he's pretty thrown off by this.
Yeah, and, you know, you've got a play caller who, you know, doesn't have yet a full year's of experience between last year and this year calling plays, trying to do what I imagine is the toughest thing in the NFL, which is to come up with a cogent game plan that's simple enough to explain to your players in half the time, which is what's going to happen here. And you have a quarterback whose Rolodex is already smaller than most because he's a rookie. You know, so there's not a lot to pull from. Hey, do you remember when we did this last year against them? Or do you remember when we did this 2 years ago? That's what we're going to shoot for here. There's not that shorthand there, both because Thomas Brown wasn't in the building and because Caleb Williams was in college. I think it's a real challenge for him. And I think running the ball well is kind of the easiest way to take away some of that guesswork. But, you know, you've got a Bears team that last week, their two running backs averaged like 2 yards a carry. Like,
there's never been a point where the running game has looked like that's going to carry them. There's never been a point where you thought where that looked like it was happening. I thought going into the season it would, but it hasn't happened.
I don't know. I think when they were going good, weeks 4, 5, and 6, it sure as heck looked good. I mean, I think there was a span in 3 weeks where DeAndre Swift was the second or third best running back in football, statistically.
Yeah, but against those bad teams.
Yeah, right. I mean, and this is not one of those bad teams.
That only meant something, you know, as far as Caleb's development, as far as any specifics about the offense, the run game, Shane Waldron, and the Bears as a whole. Mm-hmm. That dominating those teams, the Rams, the Panthers, and the Jaguars, only really meant something, you know, if they were going to, if all of what they did against those teams would transfer and continue.
Yeah, if it was a runway. Yeah, right.
Better teams. We said that at the time. That was perspective that you needed to have on it.
Yeah, I mean, and now you've got the last two games, which is, I think, encouraging. But there's no runway anymore, you know.
Very encouraging about Caleb. See, and now this is a great way for us to talk about this game, I think, because you would go into the season saying, the development of Caleb Williams is what their entire future hinges on.
Yeah.
Also, pretty good team that should be in the playoffs this year. It's got a playoff-ready roster this year. Both things matter. Mm-hmm. We've now hit a point where there's different tracks here.
Yep.
That's out. Forget that. Matt Eberflus almost certainly done here at the end of the season. But Caleb is not. Caleb is their future still. And now you have divergent paths here where Caleb is playing better. The team is not necessarily playing better. They're headed toward a coaching change by all indications. So now you have to look at this game through that lens too. And you say, well, do I think the Bears are going to win in Detroit? Absolutely not. I don't think that's going to happen. Do I think that Caleb can play pretty well and continue the progress that has gone from being the most important thing of their season to the only important thing of their season? Yeah, I do. Yep. I think Caleb can give you another good game like he's been doing, and you have to grade on a curve, like you said, Patrick. He's got limited experience. You have to take that into account as you evaluate his play. But them as a team against Detroit as a team, it's a 10.5-point spread for a reason.
Right. They tried to do something that very few teams had been able to do and had, frankly, been lucky enough to have an opportunity to do, which was draft a quarterback first overall while playing with a competitive roster. The reason that never happens, is usually if you stink, that's why you get that's when you get the first pick. And turnarounds don't happen that fast.
Well,
in the NFL.
If they had drafted him when they originally had the number one pick,
yep,
coming off 3-14, that's more right. of a typical situation.
Yes. And now they are where I think most other teams with the number one overall pick have been, which is question 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 is how did the quarterback do today? And everything else is pretty extraneous.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, the Bears are in a situation where they've got, DJ Moore for another, 5 years, something like that? They've got Cole Kmet for another 3. They've got DeAndre Swift for another 2. They have these pretty good weapons that I don't think your average team coming off the worst record in football would have. So that's baked into this is, you know, does he connect with DJ? Does he connect with Cole? You know, does this offense make sense? And is it something that whoever the next coach is can build on? That's what to look for when you're sitting around on Thursday morning. Kind of, you know, the outcome of the game.
Well, that and potentially the next coach.
Yeah, and Ben Johnson. And, boy, they've got they have so many weapons offensively, and they know how to use them. Mm-hmm. Even the way that they've managed Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery in, like, a real thunder and lightning situation, you know, teams share carries now almost across the board. Very few teams in the last 10 years have done it as well and as smartly as they have the last 2 seasons.
I really liked what I saw from Caleb Williams last week in terms of picking up the blitz. It was like, there's so many different parts to his education as a rookie quarterback. If you kind of scroll back in your mind to the beginning of the season, just trying to get through those first couple games against Tennessee and Houston.
Right.
You're just trying to understand the speed of the game. The Colts game week 3, he's throwing interceptions that are one of them at least comes to mind to me that was just egregious rookie mistake. Mm-hmm. Egregious for someone who'd been around, not for a rookie. Kind of obvious rookie mistake. Then you get into the Rams. He figures out how to kind of play the short game. And then he gets a couple easy ones, really. It's mm-hmm. just he couldn't help but light up, basically, the Panthers and the Jaguars.
And he did. They scored 10 touchdowns in 2 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fast forward, you get to Brian Flores in Minnesota, and he was talking about it. Pat, what did he call Brian Flores ahead of the game?
Not Dr. Or the king of the cover zero.
The king of the cover zero. And I'm looking at that, Patrick, as Caleb Williams sees that there's a big test coming, a big exam coming, yep. and he's studying for it. Mm-hmm. And he walks in there Sunday, and he knows the material,
yep.
and he passes the test. I think that was really, really encouraging for him to do that. What is the test that he has to pass this week?
It's a pop quiz. It's not a test.
Yeah, that's a good
way to put it. It is a kind of what you know is what you know at this point.
Yeah.
And, I think that it's going to be a test of kind of his true acumen, which is going to be interesting to see. We talk about the raw talent. I think some of the balls he stepped into last week and threw with zip are as confident as I've seen him. I think miles per hour wise, it might have been the hardest I've seen him throw too when he thought he had something.
Thomas there. Brown said Tuesday you could see he played with no fear
yeah.
against the Vikings.
And he's going to turn the ball. I think this will probably be the biggest challenge. I think he's going to turn the ball over for the first time in 6 weeks. And I think when he does, I think that needs to be okay. You know, his last interception was in London on the deep ball on the short yardage play. The world didn't fall apart because he threw a pick. And I know he's been coached, hey, don't throw interceptions, and that's the right way to coach it. But I do think you need to cut it loose a little bit. And what was exciting about last week was that Thomas Brown had him cut it loose. And
he
had him
cut it loose. Thomas Brown effect.
Yeah, and he had him cut it loose knowing that there were going to be moments when there were guys in his face. The other thing that was so impressive about last week was there were only 2 or 3 or 4 times, really, when Brian Flores got him, or even came close to getting him. And one of them, he explained was, he counted the guys wrong. Caleb mm-hmm. did the line of scrimmage and had to make a great play to save himself from disaster. But, he didn't have many mistakes short of taking the sack in overtime. And you're talking about a quarterback. I don't think you and I can sit there and go put big red circles around mistakes he's made the last 2 weeks under Thomas Brown. And that's really exciting, too, because, that's, Justin Fields, speaking of these Lions games, and Mitch Trubisky, speaking of these Lions games, those guys had plays well into their third and fourth season in the case of Mitch, where you went, oh boy, you can't do that. You know, there haven't been a lot of those with Caleb Williams. You know, there was one, and it was when, you know, the Vikings rushed three against seven Bears blockers and still got a sack in overtime, where he's just got to throw the ball away. But, man, he's not making those loud mistakes, and I think that is really worth giving him credit for.
If you can look at it on two different tracks, of the Bears and the 2024 Bears and Caleb Williams, Caleb Williams is where you would have wanted him to be, kind of on time, on schedule. This is about when you would have wanted to see what he's done the last 2 weeks, where you're getting very capable quarterback play. Mm-hmm. You're still seeing some mistakes, and they've been costly depending on the timing of them. Also, you've seen some of the really special plays.
Yep.
Running and throwing. Mm-hmm. And his running has been very effective. But he and the Bears have handled that differently than Justin Fields and the Bears did, where Caleb Williams is running on a third down when he needs it. But that is often like the fourth progression.
Right.
He's been more decisive as a runner the last few weeks. He's objected to that phrasing. He doesn't like that.
I swear it was from watching Drake May take two looks and then go, oh God, I gotta get out of here.
That's what I mean by decisive.
Right.
It's not that he doesn't know where he wants to go once he's already decided to run. It's treating running as your fourth or fifth read.
Right.
And saying, okay, one's not there, two's not there, three's not there. It's time.
Yeah.
I'm going to run now.
Gotta go.
It's time to run.
Yep. I think he's a better...
It's very decisive.
I think he's a better passer than either Trubisky or Fields ever was already. And
I thought that in August.
You know, the other thing that's an important detail here, and nobody writes sonnets about it, is he hasn't missed a snap. Like, so much of this development...
That's surprising, honestly. I mean, it's a little surprising because of how many times he's been hit.
But this development requires him to be on the field.
Yeah.
And every second spent without him, I'm knocking on fake wood here... every play in which he's on the sideline is a missed opportunity for him to be better for next year when the games matter again. And for next year when you're interviewing head coaching candidates who probably are going to want to coach him, or probably definitely going to want to coach him. That's an important part too, because when he runs, he looks for the sideline. He's not Justin. He does not relish putting his shoulder down into people. And that is to his credit. Real quick, Jason, we talked about neither of us think that they're going to win on Sunday or on Thursday. Is there a world where, short of Caleb turning into Superman, as Thomas Brown would say, where they keep it close?
I think that's going to be hard to do.
Yeah.
I just, their defense is crumbling. Mm-hmm. And while they are missing a couple guys, Andrew Billings up front is out for the year. Jaquan Brisker on the back end is out long term, possibly for the year. That's not enough of an excuse to me. That's not like if you were down to one starting corner and you didn't have Montez Sweat.
Yeah.
There's still enough there that Matt Eberflus, as a 30-year defensive specialist, should be able to come up with something that keeps them viable. And they were viable the last couple of weeks, but it just is trending the wrong way, Pat. And that 7 yards a carry against Minnesota.
7 yards a play.
A play against Minnesota was troubling, but also just some of the specific plays. And the one that stands out the most to me, I know there's a lot of specific plays that people have highlighted problematic for the Bears defense. The one that stood out to me is they're playing against Sam Darnold, who we're all a little skeptical of still. Yeah. Sam Darnold goes down. They throw in Nick Mullins, their backup quarterback, cold off the bench on 3rd and 13. I'm sitting there watching this, sitting next to you, feeling bad for him. I'm like, man, that's a tough spot if you're Nick Mullins.
You said it.
You've been standing there literally cold on the sideline that day, doing nothing all day. And they throw you in here and say, all right, Nick, you're in. And by the way, it's 3rd and 13.
Right.
And he converts it.
He throws a very easy crosser. And
and it's one of several backbreakers from that game. And this team's better at it, Pat. Their Lions are better at that.
This team, this Lions team's not getting to third down. Mine would be... 3rd and 10, I think, in overtime for the Vikings. The Bears take a timeout to talk about it, which, Hey, Bears
progress.
Fans. Hey, Bears fans.
We've learned.
Yeah, for the last 5 weeks, here we go. You get there's a big play, and your coach takes the time out to talk about it. And they come up, and Jordan Addison's just wide open. And just bad all the way around. Jason, let's get to our picks real quick.
Are they sad? Are they sad picks?
One person actually took the Bears.
Took the Bears?
We'll tease it. We'll tease that. Okay. Before we get there, while I'm looking this
Can't wait to find out who took the Bears.
Are you looking forward to the halftime show on...
Shaboozy? That's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good get. A lot of times it's like they get Third Eye Blind 20 years after they were popular.
Right.
Like, Shaboozy's a big star right now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
halftime in Detroit.
Yeah. Do we know who's singing the anthem?
I don't know.
All I know is that there was a time, Jason, when I think I covered 5 and 6 years or 4 and 6 years in Detroit. And one of the years when I was sitting at home making the turkey was Aretha Franklin singing the national anthem. So missed opportunity. Scoop Jackson is your picker who has picked the Bears.
Okay.
33-30.
Does he say why?
This will be the game in which the Bears, quote, expected potential will be judged. Even if they never match this for the next 2 years, this will be the game when the best of who they are shows up.
Wow, that is optimistic.
Boy, I know.
You know there's people that are going to read that and agree, and they're like, you know Bears fans.
Yep.
I live with Bears fans. Yep. I've grown up around Bears fans my entire life. They'll say one thing on Monday and Tuesday. They will talk themselves into exactly what Scoop Jackson just said come Thursday morning at about 11:27 a.m.
Helps if you pour yourself a drink before the game starts.
They don't need it, man. They don't need it to get there.
They're the hopium. They're smoking the hopium. Is that what you said? I've got the Lions 40-24. You've got them 34-20. So similar thoughts that they're going to have a hard time stopping anybody. Potsy's got 31-23 Detroit. Rick Tellender's got 34-16. And Rick Morrissey's got 35-17. So we're all pretty much in the same ballpark here. Somewhere between 31 and 40. Yeah.
Lions decisively.
Yeah. And
not embarrassingly, but decisively.
This may be famous last words, but, you know, this team has done a good job of not getting just absolutely boat raced by most teams. We'll see whether they can hang on to the rope again. This is a different test than, you know, you can sit there and say, well, they haven't quit. Of course they haven't quit. But, boy, you know, the Lions make a lot of teams look like they're quitting, including the Jaguars, who they beat by 100 2 weeks ago.
Here's the scary scenario for me all around, Pet, is if it's – what happens with this team if it's – and with Caleb, if it's like 24-3 Lions at halftime?
Yeah.
Then what happens with their defense?
Do we go to running clock? Is that what happens?
And do we get in a scenario where they have Caleb throw 55 times? And I don't think that's what you want. Last week he was 47 passes, I think.
That's an awful lot, yeah.
I mean, if you can't run and you're getting trounced, then what is the second half of that game going to look like, and what is it going to do to Caleb? It's unscientific, right. But I'm looking back at the Commanders game, and it's like that just seemed like it broke their spirit.
It does.
And you saw it materialize on the field the next week in Arizona.
You could argue it's beaten them 5 times. I think that unlike some of the previous teams with the number one draft pick, I think the Bears have enough medium to high quality players on offense that they should not get their quarterback broken, even if they have to throw 20, you know, down 20 in the third quarter. I hope that's not the case, because I think this is going to be one of those games, kind of like the Packers game, where I think the Bears are going to want to hold the ball and move methodically down the field and keep the St. Browns and the Montgomerys and the Goths of the world on the other sideline. But good luck with all that.
Can't do that if you can't run.
No, you can't. And that's it would be – I think there will be a focus on the run on Thursday. At least there would be if I had – my druthers. Jason, we will get back to everybody from the press box at Ford Field. Jason, have you had obviously you've had the Thanksgiving meal at the Ford Field press box?
Yeah, they do it right. They do it right. Basically, you know, a commercial version of what you have at home, like a mass quantity version of what most people do at home.
Yeah, yeah, it's good.
Turkey, all the sides, everything.
And I've said this for years.
It's a lot to start a work day.
Yeah, yeah, you want to take it out.
And most people are having Thanksgiving and then falling asleep with a beer in their hand watching right. the afternoon game or something. You know, we're gonna theoretically eat that at like 11 a.m. and then start work.
Well, and, you know, I've said this a bunch. I don't like covering the Thanksgiving game because I don't like leaving my family. But once you're there and there's kind of nothing you can do about it anymore, they make it a really good experience. Like, it's fun once you accept the fact that you're inside Ford Field. Do you think they'll let you bring two green teas?
Oh, I don't want to discuss it.
You don't want to give them a heads up?
No.
Okay, well, then we'll finish.
We can discuss it in after the game.
In post?
Yeah, the post game.
Okay.
And also in post.
Yes. Jason likes to bring green tea into the stadium.
And there's one stadium in the league that does not allow it.
I'll let you guess which one.
And it's crazy. They'll let you bring it into the Super Bowl. They'll let you bring an iced green tea into the Super Bowl. But at this particular place, they will not let you.
Will Jason get his green tea in? If for no other reason.
He has before.
Yeah, if for no other reason, tune in for that as you drive home from wherever you're celebrating Thanksgiving. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again on Thursday.